Welcome to Gold Star Classroom, the podcast where our panelists go back to school. We'll grade them on their answers to a variety of general knowledge and trivia questions. They don't know what we're going to ask, and we don't know what they're going to say. The student with the highest grade at the end of the class will win the coveted classroom prize, the Golden Banana. I'm your host and headmaster, Professor Jerry Jaffe.
Welcome to today's episode of Gold Star Classroom. I'm your host and headmaster, Dr. Jerry Jaffe. It's my pleasure to introduce today's students. Sitting on my right is a comedian who calls himself Tony Adamczyk.
Hello. Hello. Nice to see everybody.
Tony, welcome to class.
Good to be here. Thanks for having me.
On my left is another comedian who calls himself Keith Bergman.
Hello there.
Hello, Keith. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Oh, thanks for coming to class. It's for your own benefit. And sitting directly across from me is another comedian who calls himself Jake Dickey.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going very well, Mr. Dickey.
How soon are you sending me to detention? This is how high school was.
It's been known to happen. Unfortunately, the principal's office is my bedroom, so
Oh, yeah.
Be careful.
Okay.
All right. As your teacher, I'll be asking you questions across the width and breadth of human learning, and then I, as any good teacher would, I'll be grading your answers.
All right.
The student, raise your hand, Tony. Adam, whichever you are.
It's Tony.
Tony, Adam.
Must we follow that protocol? Must we raise our hand, or can we just jump right in?
Depends how confused I am at any
okay.
given moment.
All right.
I was just going to say, the student with the highest grade at the end of class wins the coveted classroom prize, the Golden Banana. Tony, you wanted to say something?
No, I'm ready to go.
Is the Golden Banana found in your office?
Yeah. Is it in your bedroom?
It is in the principal's office.
All right, okay. Not in your bedroom, all right.
All right, let's begin by considering a question from biology that should have been in everybody's freshman biology class. What is an invertebrate? Keith?
It is an animal with no spine or skeletal structure.
Anyone else want to agree or disagree?
I believe that's correct.
All right, 10 points for Keith and 20 points for Jake for correctly grading your answer.
I was going to say it was the average woman that Jake brings home after a night at the bar.
No, we call
they have a spine. They're just limp.
We call that the jellyfish. And now, having established in basic terms what an invertebrate is, what is the world's largest known invertebrate?
Well, I'll just say jellyfish right off the top there. So
there are some very large jellyfish in the world.
Some kind of squid. Maybe.
There are some very large squids in the world.
I'm going to go with Steve Sabo's comedy career.
I have a production partner who does post-production, and I'll be sure he adds a rim shot to that answer. In fact, Keith's answer is almost correct, 10 points. It is a type of squid. What is the largest by mass?
I'm going to go octopus?
Squid. Well, squids and octopi are different.
The dragon?
The Kraken is closer. Speaking of Norse gods, you have to be careful not to get Thor in your Kraken.
Hey now.
What is the world's largest known squid?
Is it just called the giant squid?
There is a type of very large squid that is called the giant squid, but it is not the most massive. There's one species of squid known that's even more massive than the
Bergman
giant squid.
Bergman has seen all these damn questions. I'm out. I'm done.
We have an Animal House scenario. He was digging through my trash last night.
See, Tony's just mad because when he was in school, there were only single-celled organisms.
Yes.
In one classroom for 12 grades.
His extra credit project was fire. All right, I don't know.
Okay. Yeah,
I have no idea.
It is, in fact, the colossal squid.
Are you kidding me?
I kid you not. It's right in my lesson plan right there.
I didn't do well with synonyms.
Jake thinks synonyms are the things you get at the airport with the frosting on top.
Those are so good.
They are very simile to cinnamons.
Oh, hey.
The you know how big a colossal squid will get? I have its length and its weight.
Is this beast still living, or is this one that, like, you know?
These are considered still alive today. Generally found around the Antarctic.
In very
oceans.
Deep. I mean, yeah, yeah. Okay. 50 to 60 feet lengthwise.
Anyone want to agree or disagree?
I'm tapping out of that one.
Sure.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, 50 is about right. The estimates you'll find online is in the 45-foot length range. And then weight. I didn't mean weight like I'm going to say something. I meant its actual
right.
How many pounds it weighs. They can be up to 1,000 pounds. Which, wow, for a huge animal may not sound like a lot, but remember these creatures are actually mostly air and water. Like, it's not like massive tissue like a thick like an elephant is. So 1,000 pounds for an invertebrate is a huge weight. You did mention the giant squid. I jotted down, sometimes you get these animals that are very similar. So there, besides the colossal squid being sort of like one size bigger than the giant squid, there are a few other general features that distinguish them. Anyone know what the distinguishing features of a colossal squid might be?
What, no bones? We
right, but I meant between a colossal squid leg and a giant squid.
It's not an octopus, for God's sake. Get off the octopus.
Well, we didn't know if he was going from 8 to 9 or 10 to 9.
That question made me go from 6 to midnight.
Yes.
All right, so what differentiates the giant versus the colossal, right?
Correct. Yep.
The giant has a complex from being made fun of by the colossal for not being the biggest one.
Yes. I'm supposed Bobby to be the issues. Giant. I'm supposed to be the giant. I'm supposed to be the giant. There are three things I jotted down. They have a different sort of shape and size mantle, which is their hood part.
Penis size?
See, why does this got to go dirty?
We're talking about anatomy.
Yeah, we call it, this is Animal Planet. This is going all Animal Planet on us. There's only a few specimens of the colossal squid have ever been recovered, and they've never been observed mating in the wild. So we actually don't know much about
neither is
their
Bergman
reproduction. And we're all grateful for that. Backup footage. Giant squids have been observed more in the wild, and more is known about their reproduction. Now, I'll just shout this out. It's interesting to me. Yeah, I was saying their size, their width, their mantle is different. But the thing that kids get excited about is their arms and tentacles are different. The colossal squid's limbs, in addition to suckers, are equipped with sharp hooks. And these sharp hooks also are equipped to swivel. Jeez. So, it's one of the only animals that's known to battle sperm whales.
Wow.
Sperm whales will eat them. Sperm whales will eat them. And sometimes sperm whales are found with, like, battle scars, with those swiveling hooks stuck in their back.
Jeez.
And things like that.
You thought Taco Bell did a number on you.
All right. The squids were colossal, but the grades were not.
Welcome to my second grade.
It feels a little bit like second grade. But as a good teacher, it's my job to not just tear you down, but to build you up. And I have here in my hand a list of 101 random ways to praise children. And I'm going to randomly pick one to praise you all now to help build up your self-esteem. You're a treasure.
By that, he means he wants you sunk at the bottom of the lake
with one of those hooked octopus on your back.
Squid.
Who gives a shit? Oh, my God.
The teacher cares because your grade is based on correct answers.
I've always been caught up on octopus.
I am, and so is James Bond and Richard Kiel. I will note to my own gratification that I'm giving myself an A because my computer hasn't crashed yet.
Yeah, amen.
So, Carrie, we have a separation of church and state policy in this classroom. Okay. So. All right, let's move into a different topic. This is a seasonal topic, a pop culture topic. I have here a list of what is considered the common dangers to children on Halloween. How many of them can you name or list?
Poison candy.
Isn't that kind of an urban myth?
We have a vote for poison candy, a vote for urban legend.
Yeah. I think that kids were more likely to get hit by a car because they walk out in traffic.
Yeah. A danger?
Yes.
Going over to Dickie's or Bergman's house. there's your danger.
Child abduction.
Well, since you said it first, that is the secret twist to the question is, would anybody say poison candy from strangers? And that is considered an urban legend. I've seen several writers and journalists who have done research on the topic about does this really happen, and there is virtually no reported cases of a child dying because of tampered candy from a stranger. There have actually been two or three cases of children dying from tampered candy from...
Friends.
Parents.
Parents, huh?
Oh, geez.
Nice.
The parents who do that think that the myth will fool the police. That they'll think, oh, they got poison candy at some one of the neighbor's house.
Yeah.
Or Adrian Peterson's house.
Or Adrian Peterson's house.
I was told, like, my dad told a story that somebody heated, like, would heat up pennies and give kids pennies and let them take them, but they would burn their fingers.
Right.
Yeah.
The, on the other hand, I have to give Keith Bergman a gold star because the actual number one danger to children is traffic accidents. The chances of being, of a child being hit by a car on Halloween is double what it is any other night of the year. That's according to Safe Kids USA. Anyway.
So you're saying the best way to murder a child is just run them over on Halloween.
To run them over on Halloween, yes.
But if you dress like Mario and throw some banana peels on the road, you can totally beat the rap.
Yeah.
The,
pun fully intended.
I will say there are a couple of other common dangers that I've listed here in between those two, but these are legitimate dangers, not urban legend dangers. Any thoughts?
Like tripping and falling on your costume?
The costumes. Sharp edges, stabbing, burning, allergic reactions to makeup.
Suffocating.
The heck are people dressing up as?
Well, just those cheap... I'm trying not to say brands or stores, but those cheap off-the-rack plastic-esque costumes have been known to burn easily under, you know, like you go by a jack-o'-lantern and it catches fire.
Right. Flammable, I think, is the word you're looking for.
Thank you. Well, what I was trying to do was not name... A place.
Or... He's still trying to get that sponsorship from Woolworths.
I can announce at this time that Woolworths in no way sponsors or endorses this show, nor do we them. So the costumes are dangerous. Very rarely, but occasionally, the parents themselves. Car accidents. Tainted candy from strangers is basically an urban legend. I do have two more things on this list. Any thoughts? Any guesses? Mm.
Of dangers to kids?
Of dangers
on
to
Halloween.
Kids on Halloween. Yeah, these are Halloween dangers.
Eating too much sugar, having too much sugar. So, vomiting.
Diabetic coma?
Yeah, diabetic coma.
Without going all the way to diabetes, eating too much candy, actually. Yeah. Stomach aches, vomiting, nausea, that kind of thing.
What about pranks?
You know, I like the way you think, Jake Dickey, but I will say in the normal literature about sort of dangers to children, pranks don't get brought up. Now, that, I don't know if that's because that's older kids or if that's a slightly different category of criminal behavior.
Like, well, them getting hurt from someone trying to steal their candy.
Bullying, not on the list, but probably also a real phenomenon.
How about dog bites? Animals at the yard, or like an animal bite attacks them for coming up on the porch.
That's you've taken children trick-or-cheating, haven't you?
No, he's just bitten people on the porch.
He's on his porch.
He stalked kids that are trick-or-treating.
I spent a lot of money on that Rottweiler costume. I intend to get my money's worth.
Nope, I have one more thing on this list. That is the spreading of germs by people sticking their hands into candy baskets.
Oh.
Like when there was a SARS epidemic, H1N1, food, like a... E. coli, just germs, bacteria being spread by lots of kids touching the same candy, putting your hands in the basket.
Man, if that's bad, what about bobbing for apples? How many kids got sick from that?
That's how AIDS started.
Yeah, if you're the fourth kid on, it's basically backwash at that point.
That's so gross now that you think about it.
I will say just one more interesting statistic on the urban legend. There, one researcher at a university found over 100 reported cases of people saying they had tainted or poisoned candy. But on investigation, they almost all turned out to be either hoaxes or misreports or, again, legends or...
The weird thing was, on the way back from that study, he flashed his lights at a gang member, and then the guy pulled over and shot him.
Yep.
And the headless ghost actually appeared.
The cops got there was a hook on the passenger side door.
I've had a lot of dates on that way.
I've had a lot of dates start that way.
The great Greek philosopher Plato is known to have said, "The direction in which education starts a man will determine his future in life." Based on our grade so far, the direction is down.
Yeah, I thought I rocked that one. Are we grading on a curve here?
We're better.
We're grading on a platonic line that is descending all the time. And I'll save you from my rant about how curves work.
Okay.
Which most students don't know and would be horrified if their teachers actually graded on a curve, because a bunch of them would end up failing. So I just gave you half the rant, but that's just a teaser for later. When I get full rant.
The director's cut is going to be awesome.
I cannot wait.
To get the full rant, we got to get him a couple shots.
These kids are in their carbs.
Stupid kids. All right. Our third topic for today's class is world geography.
Where in the world is Carmen Sandiego?
Your question is not far from my question. Where in the world is Central America?
I'm going to go with the center of America. I'm going to go with probably somewhere in, like, Wyoming.
Wyoming? Yeah. Dead center of the continental 48.
No, I'm going the Central America is south of Texas and north of Panama.
And by that reckoning, you would include Mexico as part of Central America?
Yes.
Okay. Keith Bergman?
I would say it's... I don't think Mexico is included. I think it's everything south of Mexico, north of Venezuela.
Brazil?
What?
We'll go with Keith Bergman's answer.
Thank you.
That's where it is. You get minus 10 points for pounding my microphone. And I mean that literally, not metaphorically.
Hey.
Hey. I know. The question is Central America part of North or South America?
I'm going to go with, I believe it's considered South America.
We have one vote for South. There's obviously two choices.
I don't think it's either.
That is a third option. Is it its own region?
It's its own
independent
region.
Yeah. Keith, so how do you want to weigh in on this one?
There's a lot riding on this, Keith.
Yes.
I mean, it's
the coveted
banana.
Classroom prize, the golden banana.
Oh, excuse me, golden banana.
Well, I know you older guys need your potassium, so I'm going to abstain from this question.
No.
Aren't you the oldest
we
one?
We don't want the mercy rule.
It is considered part of North America, although, like, India is considered a subcontinent.
Is it just because of the equator? Is that what they base it off of?
No, it's based on how the continental plates lie and how they sort of fit together. You know, like all the continents kind of fit together like puzzle pieces.
Pangea.
Mm-hmm. Oh, bonus.
He just said a word. He doesn't even know what it means.
No, he knows. You couldn't say that word without knowing what it doesn't mean, what it means.
And I couldn't call him on it without knowing what it meant. So we'll just carry on.
That was the first continent.
So says you. Now, in this subcontinent, which is considered part of North America, there are, in fact, 7 countries. How many of them do you think you can name? Keith's ready to take a stab at some.
All right. Ecuador. El Salvador.
Wait, slow down. Boop, no Ecuador. Jake.
Panama.
Yes. Tony.
El Salvador.
El Salvador, yes.
Venezuela.
Boop.
Damn.
We got two.
No, it's Mexico.
Yes.
That's right.
Do you have some kind of obsession with Mexico and or Mexican women?
Maybe,
Mexico is your octopus?
Yes.
All right, can I try again?
Yes.
So El Salvador.
Yes.
Panama.
Yes.
Belize.
Yes.
Guatemala.
Yes.
Nicaragua.
Yes.
One more.
I'm getting excited. Two more, actually.
Two more.
There are 7 countries.
Costa Rica.
Yes.
Yep. And
that's great. You,
what's just south of Panama?
Honduras.
We have a winner.
My hero.
A winner. A plus. We don't have to sort of bust them all down because I'm just talking about the region in general. Approximate size of the entire region in square miles. Just ballpark it. I know it's a random sounding figure, but.
Oh, it's
1,300.
No, it's 10,000 square miles.
You're both way under, by the way.
Oh, okay.
You know.
Yeah.
What it looks so little. On the
I know, on the map
was it
so
like 70,000 or something?
200,000 square miles.
I would have never guessed that.
Approximately, I'm rounding off.
That's a lot of bananas. Golden or otherwise.
And
does that include their offshore, 2 miles offshore? Is that just the land? No, is that just the land?
It's just the land area.
It's the land, okay.
It's the land area. All right. And approximate population of the seven countries combined. Just, again, approximately. Again, it's surprisingly large.
I bet there's not
number.
A lot of condom down there, so there's a lot of kids.
I'd say well, 120 million.
They'll vote for 120 million. Anyone agree, disagree, different estimate?
No, I'm going to go higher. It's 250 million people.
Well, in this case, you're both way over.
Oh man.
Approximately 43 million is the combined population of the seven countries. Belize, Costa Rica, El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras, Nicaragua, Panama. Excellent. You scored a lot of points on that one, Keith Bergman. Jake Dickey and Tony, Adam and the Ants, Schick. If you want to catch up with Keith, it's going to depend on the extra credit portion of the test.
So what about after class?
I'm not sure why
he wants to bang erasers.
He's either winking at you or he's having a stroke. I don't know which.
My chalk no longer functions without Viagra.
Proud sponsor of the Chalk Hour.
Okay, so as I try to calculate your final grade and determine the winner of today's coveted classroom prize, the Golden Banana, I'll give you each a chance to improve your grades with a bit of extra credit. So there's going to be any trivia or factoid you'd like to share. Anyone ready to go first? Tony.
I've got two items.
Well, pick the best one.
No, I'm doing both of them.
You only get credit for one.
Okay.
What?
If anyone wants to go to the bathroom, now's
the perfect was the last...
Much like when Tony's on stage.
Sure. Okay. Yeah, say it, yeah.
What was the last?
The last NCAA Division I men's football team, is like there's a women's team, that won the national championship. What was the year and the team that did not have a African-American player on the team? And for double bonus, in the Honeymooners, what was the Super's name?
To back up to your first one, just to clarify, you're talking about NCAA women's basketball.
No, it was football.
Women's football.
No, it's men's football. Who was? All right. Okay. So at least.
Let me assure you, I'm currently channeling the confusion of everyone who tried to follow your question.
All right. It was two parts, but the first part was.
Focus on the first part. Was Tony. It,
who won the men's national Division I football team? What team and what year did they win the national championship?
And this was a men's team.
Men's team, because there wouldn't be a women's football team.
That's what was confusing about your question the first time around.
And what year, what team, and they had no African-American players on the team.
Does anyone know the answer to this question?
I'm just trying to remember the Titans.
All this time I've been trying to forget the Titans.
I'm going to go with 1956 Harvard.
That's not a bad guess. It was, and actually, you may be surprised to know, it was 69, it was Texas. University of Texas.
Okay. I did not know that. I'll have to fact check that and award you
points. I didn't either. I just made it up, people.
Yes. We thought so. It was clear.
Look that up. That's good. That's gold.
All right. Keith, Jake, got some extra credit for us?
Yeah.
Perhaps something about squids.
I don't know.
Or octopi.
Obviously, I've proven that I don't know shit about this. I'm going to go with a pass to Bergman. Wow.
What do you got, Keith? Some extra credit. Anything. A fact.
All right, here's a fun fact that actually is a bit that I occasionally do in my stand-up. It has to do with the fact that the city of Toledo was once so coveted for being a port on the Maumee River and the gateway to Lake Erie and all that, and the mouth of canals and all that, there was actually almost a skirmish fought between the militias of Ohio and Michigan. It was called the Toledo War, although they never ended up firing a shot.
They claimed that there was three shots fired and a chicken killed.
And there was an abduction at one point. out of it. Right. A sheriff's son was abducted, or the sheriff's son abducted somebody.
Mayor's son or something like that, yeah. But there was, but then that, because of that, one of the byproducts of that was that because it took the state militia so long to march from Columbus to Toledo through what was then the Great Black Swamp, that's what started the giant public works project to drain the Great Black Swamp and turn it into the rustic, beautiful farmland of Northwest Ohio that you see today if you drive down Route 2.
Also, apparently, at that time, the University of Michigan was actually originally based in Toledo, and then when they lost that war, they had to move it to Ann Arbor.
Well, the loss was kind of a compromise. Toledo was awarded to the state of Ohio. Besides the university, Michigan did get something in compensation.
Yeah, it got the Upper Peninsula.
The Upper Peninsula.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, and it was the thing was, it was a really big public works project because it used to be so swampy. There was literally along what I believe is Route 2 now, there used to be an inn every mile because you could generally only make about a mile a day in the mud before you'd have to stop again.
Right. So. Well, Keith maintains a stranglehold on the lead. Jake, this
Bastard.
Is your last chance to shine.
This would have been a good time for you to get on Wikipedia with your phone, but...
Yeah, well, why cheat?
Another missed opportunity for Jake.
We don't allow students to use their phones in this class.
See?
He would have used the question rules about the honeymooners. Super.
Here's a factoid. I don't care who the super was in the honeymooners.
And the winner of today's coveted classroom prize,
wait a minute.
Jake Dickey.
Oh!
Golden banana goes straight to Jake Dickey. And we'll leave the answer to that question as a teaser for our future episode. So it just remains for me, your host, Dr. Jerry Jaffe, to thank you, Keith, Jake, and Tony, for being today's students. Thank you.
No problem.
Nice to be here.
Had a lot of fun.
Take care.
Thank
Please
you.
Have me back. Again and again.
Gold Star Classroom is written and produced by Jerry Jaffe. Our producer and engineer is Stephen Gutierrez. Original music composed and produced by Jeff Gettert. Mr. Gettert is also our assistant producer. All commentary and opinions expressed by guests of Gold Star Classroom are meant for entertainment purposes only. For Gold Star Classroom, I'm Jerry Jaffe.